last couple of months, I've been saying the Serenity Prayer to myself quite a bit, so I'll begin with that, and if you know it, and if you wish, please join along. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I have been feeling, especially in January and February, like a lot of things were out of my control that I didn't like, and I have to say I'm pretty happy we're in March now. We dedicated a baby this morning, looking towards the spring. I think in many ways a lot of terrible things happened around here in January and February. Let's start with that Monday when 8 inches of the most heaviest possible snow known to humankind fell. Every cubic inch weighed as much as snow can weigh, back breaking for the shoveling. And then we spent about 48 hours with that weight sitting on houses, cars, trees, roads, and bridges. And 2 days later on Wednesday morning, an ice storm hit and knocked us out. Approximately 850,000 households around the region went without power and heat, some for hours, some for days. And the picture that stays so alive in my head is on the cover of your order of service. This is true to scale. The massive tree that fell into the crown of our youth lodge. I clearly remember Wednesday morning coming to see it, and Scott Murray and I, we looked up and said, wow, that is unbelievable. It crushed the eaves, and then the large tree limbs, which were big enough to be a tree on their own in many cases, hung it up on the house about 50 feet. How many feet? How many feet up was it in the air? About 50 feet up there, risking more damage to the house and the apartment and the nursery school, risking to fall and demolish anything lying below it. For me, it felt a lot of times in January and February like Murphy's Law was entrenched. Murphy's Law says if something can go wrong, it will go wrong. And I just felt like a lot of things were going wrong. Since the new year, snow and ice storms have shut down the region multiple times. People had car crashes, all kinds of vehicles got into crashes. People fell on ice while walking, got seriously hurt. People got sick with flu, struggled with all kinds of ongoing medical problems like cancer, and the weather made it very difficult to get to the medical treatments. People limped along waiting for surgeries. This week in our congregation, Gloria, Carolyn, and Wesley had surgeries. January and February were not kind to them as they were aching along waiting for their surgeries. Since the new year, two people who are near and dear to our community have died, Kevin Groves and Misha Laser. Families and friends mourn the losses. And sadly, the list of hard things that have happened and are happening, they just go on and on. I'll bet you guys all have lists in addition to that. So here's the thing. I believe healthy religion helps us to deal with the fact that life can be so unpredictable and unfair. Healthy religion helps us to know we should not expect fairness all the time from life. And one of my favorite cartoons which depicts this reality is Charlie Brown and Lucy with the football. Lucy holds the football up on the ground and says, you know, Charlie Brown, come on. Kick the ball, Charlie Brown. And he says, kind of to himself, how stupid does she think I am? Been through this before. I'm not going to do that again. And then Lucy conveys some compelling reason. Maybe it's Thanksgiving. And football's a very big part of the tradition of Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown. It's a big honor for you to give the kickoff. And the wheels spin in his head, and he decides, yes, I'm going to trust and try again. So he takes a walk back, Charlie Brown way, turns and looks at that football, and then he takes off, and his wheels, his legs run, and he gives it a big swing, and right at the last minute, she pulls it out. He misses, flies up in the air, boom! And he looks over, it says, face saying it all, that hurt. And why did I think it was going to be any different this time? And as we say in preaching, life's a lot like that. Life's a lot like the Charlie Brown Lucy football cartoon. Because no matter how many times we go around the track, we still get tricked, surprised, and hurt by people, places, and things, and nature. And we say, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We've just gone through all these terrible experiences, and we're going to have more bad breaks now? Are you kidding me? It's likely to snow 6 to 10 inches tonight. Are you kidding me? Yet, we still believe in our hearts that giving life a try is better than giving up. And that's good. We want to base the actions in our daily lives on those words of E.E. Cummings. We want to act like we believe in, I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I want to live my life based on those words. And then, but we run up and the football gets pulled. So one thing I think that Sharon Salzberg's reading teaches us, and the Serenity Prayer teaches us, and a lot of spiritual wisdom guides us to, sometimes we just don't have as much control as we would like or want to admit. No matter how, this is a big struggle for me. A lot of days, Kent, you're not as in charge as you think you should be. We cannot put a stop to what Shakespeare called the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. We can't change the reality the Buddha was teaching about when he said that the first noble truth is that life is suffering. And sometimes I think that we get so bogged down in Murphy's Law or whatever it is, a lot of bad hands and bad luck, we start becoming protagonists for that. Daniel and I had an interesting experience. We were walking along on Green Street, and there was a four-car pileup in the ice storm, just under the bridge going up towards Upsal, and one car had slid to its side into oncoming traffic. One car hit its back, and two cars were piled up into its front, and it was all locked down on a hill of ice, and Daniel and I walked down as pedestrians, and there were about 12 people out, and six bigger, stronger guys were around, and I am a Chicago guy who likes to think, I like to help in snow situations. We used to go out and shovel people out, and I enjoy that. But I came and I studied it, and I really believe that I knew we could have pushed the main stuck car out, and then the other cars could have gone. So I tried to get everybody involved, and I explained the plan of how we were going to move it, and nobody wanted to do it at all. And nobody would participate, not even my coworker who I supervise. And at one point, a lady said to me, "Who are you?" That's a good question. It's a good question. I've been working on that question my whole life, man. No. But we gave up. And, you know, I'm not pointing a finger in that situation because I could tell you other, I'm editing the sermon here. I have other situations where I was kind of feeding into the negativity and just give up way that happens. But, of course, we know that that is not the end of the story. That's not all there is to what has happened around here in January and February. Within all these challenges and pains, we have witnessed so many people helping. Let's go back to the massive tree on the youth lodge. Our amazing building team, two guys right here, stand up real fast. Scott and Bill, the two heads. Without them, the tree would still be up there. And so many other people around them, a lot of people helped. You can imagine the insurance, the renters, the staff, the congregation, the neighbors, the contractors. It took two cranes and a work team to get the tree down safely. And then protecting the building. Look, if you're going to the parking lot today, there's a massive tarp or set of tarps up there protecting from more damage now and moving towards repairs when the weather gets decent enough. When we learned that dozens of families in our congregations were without power and heat, some of them with little kids, we just put out basically one little hit of a communication. If you can help somebody who's in need of shelter, let us know. Within 4 hours, we had more families than we could ever use. Everybody said, yep, tell anybody, come over to my house for warm, safe shelter. This was what was going on in the region. We saw neighbors shoveled and shoveled and shoveled snow for elderly in the hampered. People brought groceries and food to those who couldn't get their own. People have taken care of others who are going through recovery from illness and medical treatments. People drove each other to work and school. When schools were closed and the parents were freaked out and didn't know what to do, somebody else took care of their kids. People sat with friends lovingly. People who are going through sadness, fear, and grieving. Yesterday in this sanctuary, we held the memorial service for Kevin Groves, a 36-year-old, beautiful young man whose death sears the hearts of those who knew him with pain. I'm a wreck today, actually, hungover, just still feeling the grieving so hard. So many amazing parts of the memorial service yesterday, but his mother, Patty, got up in the pulpit and spoke about Kevin's life. And she said she thinks the primary theme of his life was generosity. He went to Ecuador for a year and did organic farming. The last job he had before he died was planting and greening Camden, planting trees in Camden. He worked to mobilize hundreds of volunteers to protect the Wissahickon watershed. He was generous with his time for Mother Earth and for people. When people were down, Kevin was there. Kevin himself had the blues pretty hard on and off in his life. But he constantly worked to combat the blues by practicing yoga, hiking in the woods, writing poetry, but also by helping to make the world a better place. I really think connecting today and yesterday, his life sort of read like the E.E. Cummings poem. He lived as if he was being a prayer of thank you, God, for the natural, the infinite, the yes. And we want to live our lives like that. Yesterday we said we're the torchbearers now for that Kevin energy. His body is dead, but his love lives on in many ways in us. My minister taught me, and I always say, that there's an important formula. It's pretty simple. The grateful person is a generous person because you're grateful for what is, you give back generously, and that person is the religious person. A combination of gratitude and generosity makes a pretty good religiosity. But this month of painful, scary situations taught me we don't always start with gratitude. Sometimes you just don't feel it. Even when we're frustrated, angry, or hurt, we can be generous. People who were mad at life or God or whatever got out of themselves and helped others. I heard a number of people say a mantra, we cannot control the circumstances, but we can control our actions in response to the circumstances. And through that helping, I think many of us got back into perspective on how much there is to be grateful for right now. We're grateful for when we can move around safely in the building and out of the building, when we're not going to crash into telephone poles. We're grateful when we're not laid out with the flu or side effects of heavy medicine. There's a lot of people back in church right now who've had hard times. We're grateful that Tom Smith and Rick Rhodes and Jan Eng and many others are here who've had hard times. It's good to be together. And we're just grateful we have a roof over our heads. We're warm. We're here. Arthur Kent Nerburn writes that giving is a miracle that can transform the heaviest of hearts. Two people who moments before lived in separate worlds of private concerns suddenly meet each other over a simple act of sharing. And then the world expands and a moment of goodness is created. I think we have been living out that truth. Just take that next step. Admit what you're powerless over and do what you can. Take down the tree. Take down the tree. We'll chop it up into little pieces later. Dozens of people came out yesterday to help make the memorial beautiful. Dozens of people worked for the Kevin Memorial, and it was great. Today, we can say, Kevin and Misha did so much to help other people. So much that those two guys did. We carry their energy now. Let's help somebody today in their honor. That's what they would be doing. I'm grateful to all of you for helping each other and me to get through the tempest of Murphy's Law. We have reaffirmed the law of love. It is the most powerful force in the universe. Blessings be. Amen.